chapter 46. Verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. The title of my message today is A Very Present Help. C.H. Spurgeon called this psalm the Song of Holy Confidence. Martin Luther wrote his famous hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, as he reflected upon the blessed truths that are found in this psalm. Psalm 46 enables us to see how God is able to help His people when there is upheaval and unrest in nature and among the nations. No matter what the circumstances we may be facing, our God is fully capable of handling it. The entirety of the psalm encourages us to have confidence and trust in a God who never changes, who's never frustrated or defeated. Come what may, no matter what the circumstances, we can count on God to help us, secure us, protect us, empower us, encourage us. And as long as our sovereign God is on His throne, we have absolutely nothing to fear. He does all things well. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. We can rest assured that our great God will never leave us nor forsake us, and that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now in verse 1, we have the source of our help. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The source of our help. He starts it off with one word. And that one word's all you need in time of trouble, in time of distress. Negatively, he doesn't say that our armies or our experts or our ingenuity or the things of this world are a very present help. No, he says God. So we'll trust in the Lord our God. God, the creator and sustainer of this vast universe, who upholds all things by the word of his power, who knows when a sparrow falls to the ground, who knows how many hairs are on your head. The God who we trust, who we worship, he knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. He does everything on purpose. Our God is perfectly holy and righteous and just. He will be just in everything that he does as he governs this vast universe. God, eternal, infinite, sovereign, and all-powerful. Things that are impossible with men, God can do anything. With God, all things are possible. A.W. Pink said, "The more we discern the controlling hand of the Most High in all events, the better our peace of mind." Why are people fearful today? Because they don't know they're not ready, they're not prepared for the unknown. They don't understand the grace of God, the glory of God, the power of God. And perhaps God has brought all of these circumstances to this very time, for a time such as this, where those who are saved by the grace of God can say, "We have an answer. We have a rock. We have a way. And it's in Jesus Christ." Let me introduce you to God, our refuge. Why do you need a refuge? You need safety in times of danger. And our only place of real safety and security is in God. Specifically, in the finished work of the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one qualified and able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. Let us be faithful to rest in our refuge, depending entirely upon the power of Jesus Christ. And how do you find refuge? From the penalty of your sin, from the condemnation of the law, from the terrors of eternity in the lake of fire. There's only one refuge, only one place of safety. It's not in a church, it's not in a preacher, it's not in the Pope, it's not in a set of standards. The refuge is only in one place: Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is as a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe." I point you to the only refuge. You find refuge in Christ by fleeing from your sinful delusions of self-righteousness, of religiosity and worldly philosophy, to trust only in the sacrifice, the death, the bloodshedding, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. He's the one that said, with absolutely no qualification or apology, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You need a very present help in trouble? Flee to Jesus. Flee from the wrath to come. In Christ, we have an eternal refuge and protection for all eternity. And we can say that we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. Are you saved today? If you are, you're safe. You say, well, what if the coronavirus gets me? Well, you're going to be delivered from it one way or the other. If you're saved by the grace of God, He's either going to heal you, raise you up, and give you grace to keep on sharing the gospel and living for Jesus, or He's going to take you and deliver you all the way to glory to be in the very presence of God. But I can guarantee you, if you know Jesus, you need not fear eternity whatsoever, because you're sealed by the Spirit of God, you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you're on your way to glory. So you don't need to fear. You've escaped the greatest trouble that there is among men, and that's sin and the condemnation of it. If you know Jesus, you are in a safe refuge. God is our refuge and strength. He is our strength. I know this. Jesus said in John 15, without me, ye can do nothing. The other side of that is confidence in the strength, the power, the grace of Christ. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You need strength for the days ahead, for circumstances that are out of your control. You don't know everything that's going to happen tomorrow, next week, the week after. Your strength is not in the wisdom of men. It's in the power of God. Stand fast in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Depend entirely upon the power of our crucified, buried, and risen Savior. There is strength in Him for those that are without strength. For those who have no ability, He's all powerful. He says that God is our strength, our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The very fact that we need help from God implies that we're not able on our own. We're weak. We're insufficient in and of ourselves, and we're apt to be defeated on our own. But with God, all things are possible. He is a very present help in time of trouble. Just ask the Israelites who were able to cross the Red Sea dry shod, who were fearful as they heard the chariot wheels rumbling and Pharaoh coming to capture them. Their leader, Moses, said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still. Interestingly, that's what verse 10 tells us here. And see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you to you this day. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And as he stretched out the rod over the Red Sea and made that pronouncement, the waters rolled back and the children of Israel went over dry shod, kicking up dust. They got over on the other side. They saw their enemies pursuing, and the very waters that had been rolled away for them now were rolled over their enemies, and God destroyed them all. He is able. He is a very present help. That's not enough to convince you. In time of trouble, you remember in the days of old when the Israelites were cowering in fear because Goliath of the Philistines came out day by day and mocked the God of heaven and the armies of Israel. And a little shepherd boy, a young man named David, came into the camp to give provisions to his brothers. He saw what was going on. And with a voice of urgency and purpose, he said, "Is there not a cause?" And they tried to hush him up. But David said this, "I'll go out to meet Goliath." "Well, what will you face him with? Let's devise a plan. Let's give him the armor of Saul. Let's give him his sword." David said, "No, all I need is what God's provided me with. This sling and 5 smooth stones." So he thought he was going to miss Goliath. No, he knew Goliath had brothers. He's going to whoop them too. You know what he did? Here's what David said. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 45. "Then said David to the Philistine, 'Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hand." He said all that before he took any action whatsoever. His confidence was in God. And he took that rock, put it in a sling, twirled that thing around, and let her loose. The Bible says that stone hit the giant right in the forehead. Down he went. Dead as a doornail. David did exactly what he said he was going to do. He didn't have a sword of his own, so he went and picked up. I scared you, didn't I, Jared? Yeah, I'm glad. That's what I was going for. He went there, got that sword of the giant, and he cut off the head of Goliath. This is what God will do to all the enemies of Israel. The Philistines fled in fear. God is a very present help in trouble. Oh, that God would raise up young people who will stand, who will say, "Is there not a cause?" Still not convinced that He's a very present help in trouble? How about when the Israelites were in Babylonian captivity and Daniel and his 3 friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember them? Remember when Nebuchadnezzar decreed that everybody was going to worship the image that he had made when the music started playing? And if anybody would not bow before this edict and this idol, they'd be thrown into the fiery furnace. Remember that? Nebuchadnezzar asked him, "And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." You talk about courage, conviction, character in the face of a great crisis where their lives were threatened. Boy, that made Nebuchadnezzar mad. He told them to heat up that furnace 7 times hotter. He bound them bound their hands. And he threw them in the fiery furnace. And he looked down. Somehow they were able to see what was going on. And lo and behold, there was the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, with them in that fiery furnace. And he preserved them. Not a hair of their head was singed. I've said this many times. I got it from Johnny Redman, a Baptist preacher that's gone on to glory. I heard him preach this many years ago. The only thing that was burnt off were those cords that bound them. God is able. He's able to deliver. He did the same thing with Daniel. I believe Daniel drew courage when he saw the example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there, his 3 friends. When they tried to come up with a plan to stop him from praying, he kept on praying. And by order of the king, he was taken and thrown into the den of the lions. He would not stop serving his God. He would not capitulate to the heathen king and their demands. And you know what? That king got troubled about it because he liked Daniel. It says, "Then the king rose early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" I wonder how long there was a pause. Then Daniel said unto the king, "O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. That's not the end of the story. Now that's my favorite part, that Daniel was delivered. But I got to say, I do love the part where the king got everybody that accused Daniel and lied on him and led to him being thrown. The king gathered up all those fellows and threw them into the lion's den. And those lions that would not taste Jewish flesh, all of a sudden they got their appetites back and they started. You could hear bones crunching like Cheetos. Those lions ate up all of the accusers. God is able. Still not convinced that He's a very present help in trouble. You know the story about Peter. After James had been beheaded by Herod the Great, and then he captured Peter and determined that he was going to do the very same to him and chained him between two guards the night before his execution, God sent an angel. Peter was so confident in God, he was ready to go if need be. He was sleeping. The angel had to say, "Peter, wake up, I'm here. I'm going to deliver you." Next thing you know, the shackles are undone and that angel's leading him through the gates. He was delivered. He went to the place where all the saints were praying. They were praying for his deliverance. He knocked on the door. They couldn't believe it was Peter. They didn't really have a lot of faith that God could deliver him. Peter, they finally had to convince him, "No, man, it's me. God delivered me. God rescued him." When Paul was fearing in the city of Corinth, that city of great wickedness and heathen idolatry, God said, "Fear not, Paul, for I am with thee. I have much people in this city. You're going to proclaim my name to them. People are going to be saved. And you're also going to continue in the work." He is a very present help. Almighty God can and will help in times of trouble. God said, "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." I hope you're trusting in Him today. I hope you're depending upon this God of help. No matter what you may be facing, sickness, sorrow, even death, you can trust completely in our sovereign God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. He is a very present help. Now, you know what? I'm going to stop there today. And I pray to God that this first verse will give you enough information to face this week, to face your fears, to face the hysteria. I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm praying that God will give me grace to conquer every fear and worry and believe that He does all things well. And if it's His will for me to contract the coronavirus and die, I'm fully resigned to that. I'm trusting Him with my life. Now don't get me wrong. I'm not going to dive into the nursing home up in Washington State where a bunch of people have died from the coronavirus who were over 80 years old. Don't get me wrong, I'm not going out hunting for the coronavirus. I will tell you this, I'm trusting God to take care of me for all eternity, not just for the next week or the next month, but throughout all eternity. He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. If you want to be able to go to bed tonight without fear, you have to trust the Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Now, I ain't done with this sermon, because I want to show you what the first verse, if truly believed and embraced, what it can do as you move forward. Because the second verse says, therefore. That's how it starts out. Therefore. He's making application of the source of our help and strength. And He's able to conquer everything. We'll finish up next week, Lord willing. Let's all stand.
Page 47.